The hardest thing I do is trying to figure out what the first words are going to be when I stand up here. I remember when that guy that just led singing was a teenager. And one church service, they wrote down how many times I said, okay. Because I used to get up and say, okay, open your Bibles. And so they started keeping track of me doing that and really made me self-conscious. And so now when I walk up here, the first thing I think of is, don't say okay, open your Bibles. So the sermon's no problem. It's those first words of how to start the thing up when I get up here that gives me all the trouble. Okay. Travis, come here if you would, please. I've got something for you this evening, something I want you to hand out. We finished our study last Wednesday night on the biblical role of government. And we looked in the Scriptures, in the Bible, to see that God had instituted government and He gave us some restrictions and regulations and all that kind of stuff. Well, we finished that study last week. And I hope it was informational, informative, if nothing else. Again, for us to know that the Bible has much to say about human government. We get nervous about politics in church, and rightfully so. It is not a main topic. It's not something we want to spend a lot of time talking about. You can get discouraged about politics all day long. That's fine. Let's come to church and talk about something higher and better so we don't have to go through that. But it is part of our daily life, and the Scriptures had much to say about it. Tonight we're moving on to something else, and this is just a one-shot thing and just what we're going to look at this evening. If you've got your Bible there, turn to Isaiah chapter 6, and that will be our starting point tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. This is a subject that I have addressed before and have mentioned before, but I wanted to get it down on paper so you can have it. Because this is a very controversial topic when it comes to our Bible. The one that we use here at Bible Baptist Church is the old King James Version 1611 Bible, and a lot of folks like to belittle it, criticize it, attack it. It's amazing how vehement people will be against a Bible. I'm not a fan of the New International Version, but I would not get angry and mad and red in the face over somebody that uses one. I would just say, well, you know, here's why I don't and why you shouldn't, something like that. But when people don't like the King James Bible, I'll tell you what, they get downright nasty. And they get angry, and they'll make you get defensive over reading this Bible over other Bibles. And I don't understand that mentality, other than when people get that quickly angry, the devil's involved in something somewhere there. And so there's a reason we use this Bible, and one of the attacks against this Bible is those dreaded these and thous, all right? That's what I've called it tonight. Those dreaded these and thous. I was going to call it those dreaded T words, but then when I searched that on the internet, I found out there's a lot of dreaded T words. Some people use the dreaded T word, and they were talking about therapy. They called that a dreaded T word. Some were calling it tests, the word that tests with us. So I figured I'm not going to say T words, those dreaded these and thous. And often when you talk to people, well, I don't read that Bible, I don't use that Bible because of the these and the thous. Well, let's talk about those these and thous this evening. Isaiah chapter 6, I want you to look at one verse. You're familiar with this, verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Isaiah, here's what it says. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. None of those words, there's no these, there's no thous, there's no thy, there's no thine. There's none of those words in there. But I want you to notice, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. What I want you to notice is that there are four personal pronouns. Oh, you're going to hate this tonight. You're going to think you're back in ninth grade grammar class. There are four personal pronouns in that verse, and none of them are difficult or hard or confusing or clouded. It said, the Lord said, whom shall I send? We know who the I is, don't we? That's the Lord. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? We know who the us is. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right? No problem. Then Isaiah said, here, then said I, that's Isaiah, here am I, send me. Those personal pronouns, those first person personal pronouns, are very easy to understand. We don't have any problem with them at all. It's not the first person personal pronouns that are a problem. It's the second person personal pronouns. Oh, don't you hate this? I remember this little chart I typed out here. I remember doing that in Spanish class in 9th and 10th grade, trying to learn the first person, second person, third person, singular, plural, grammar, doing all that. And here you are years and years later, and the preacher gets up and has the nerve to take you back to that moment and that time that you despise so much. But I want you to notice the chart here again. The first person is I and me. Plural is us and we. No problem. That's not changed in 1950 years of the English language. I'm trying to get my number right. In all these years of the English language, that's never changed. It's I and me. It's us and we. But here's the second person. And the second person today is simply you. All right, that's all. In what we call contemporary English, the second person pronoun is you. You are going to the store. I'll do that for you. Whether you're the subject or the object, it's you, you, you. And what we're going to find is, unlike Isaiah 6:8, when you see first person singular and plural, and it's very easy to understand, when you get to the Bible, if you don't have the right words, you don't know if it's singular or plural, because our common English language has no first person singular that's or second person singular that's different from second person plural. Have I confused you yet? All right. Second person, if I'm talking to Jay and I say, if I look over this way and I say you and I'm talking to him, or if I say you and I'm talking to all of you, how do you know by what I said? I want you to stand. All right, am I talking to one of you or all of you? We don't have a word in modern English to separate that. The problem is when you get into the Bible and you don't have words that separate second person singular from plural, you don't know which one it is. And as we're going to see tonight, that's the problem with the newer translations of the Bible. People say, it's easier to understand. No, it's not. It's more confusing because they have taken away the key words that help us to understand that. And hopefully you'll see that here this evening. So here we go. Second person. In our Bible that we have in the King James Bible, the second person nominative case. Nani, you want to explain all this for us tonight? All right. You have to. Sarah's not here. Our other school teacher's not here. So second person nominative, which is also called subjective. All right. So now you know that means when it's the subject. The second person singular is thou. Don't you like that word? Thou. It means you, but it's a singular. We sing it this way. How great thou art. For all those critics of the these and thous, I don't think it would move me one iota to sing, how great you are, how great you are. You are. That sounds like two letters. That we don't want to get rid of those. It's got a definitive case. It's more exact and precise than what our modern English language is like. So when it is the subject, the nominative case, it's thou. When it is the object, it's thee. There's a difference between thou and thee. They both mean you, but one is when it's a subject, the other is when it's an object. But in our modern terminology, you know what we use? You. Well, is that, are you the object or the subject? Now, in most of our conversations, it doesn't really matter, right? We understand that. So some folks say, well, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Well, we'll see that in just a minute. All right? But there is a difference between second person singular nominative, second person singular objective, second person singular possessive. And that's the two T words, thy and thine. All right? It is thy ox, thy camel, thy mule. It is thine. And again, we're not getting into that, but we can get into the possessive and the subject. And the English language is so complex. in its breakdown that way. And the Bible that you and I are using, if you've got a King James Bible, follows the complexity of that English language. Whereas the newer translations that get rid of the these and thous have just erased all that. They just kind of buried all that, and the precision is not there. And the exactness is not there. And there are some places, many places in the Bible, and we've got a couple examples at the bottom that hopefully we'll get to. There are many places in the Bible where it matters whether you know it's singular or plural, because if you don't understand it correctly. And erasing all the these and the thous has done damage to those different texts. So we have the first person, the second person, and again, in the plural, it's you or you. The lesson for us is this. When you're in your Bible and it's thee, thou, thou, thee, thy, or thine, it's singular. If it starts with a T, it's singular. If it starts with a Y, it's plural. That's the difference. That's the simple difference. Why the these and thous? Because it tells us it's singular. The yous and the yees are plural. Your and yours are plural. Our English language has a great way to separate those, but we've lost that in our modern-day grammar. All right, so then you see the third person, and we're not looking at that. He and she, or actually him and her, would fit in there also, or they and them. So it's the second person that is under question when we erase the these and thous from the Bible and change it, modernize it to simply Y-O-U. Focusing on the second person in the King James Bible. Now notice this. Here's how many times these words are used in our Bible. The word thee is used 3,826 times. Now there's a reason for looking. That's a lot of times, isn't it? It's a lot of times that word is used. That is the second person objective. All right? When you change it to you, you don't know if it's singular or plural. You don't know if it's objective, nominative, possessive. You don't know which it is. All right, the word thou is there 5,474 times. So those two words, thee and thou, to let you know whether it's the subject or the object, when you're studying or reading the Word of God to know how to rightly understand it. The word thy is 4,603 times. The word thine, 937 times. So the total is 14,840 times that the T words are used to let you know when you read the verse, it's second person singular. Now the plurals are you, your, and yours, and you see the numbers there, 4,401 times. So there's a difference in our English language between second person singular and second person plural. And in second person singular, between nominative and objective. But only if we keep the T words. If we don't keep the T words, you lose all that. You don't have any of that. You've unwittingly and unknowingly erased something that's very vital and very important. And may I say this, is distinguishable in almost every other language in the world. If you learn Spanish, if you learn French, all right, being in the Micronesian Islands as a missionary, learning Kosrayan. Almost all languages of the world have a different second person singular and second person plural. English is one of the very few languages that everything's the same word, you. Whether it's singular or plural, it's you. Even the Greek language from which our New Testament comes has a different word for the T words than it does for the Y words. Now they're right there on that middle line. Almost all other languages have a difference between second person singular and second person plural, including biblical Greek. And I put the word. The word thee is right there. Not even going to try to pronounce it for you. I don't pretend that I speak Greek. And the word ye is, and there's the word. You don't have to know that those are, you don't have to know Greek to know those are not the same word. And you can do a study of those and find out that the thee is singular and the ye is plural. And when they translate our New Testament from Greek into English, if they don't make a different word for second person singular than plural, they're not being accurate to the original languages. If they don't use thee and ye, if they make it all you, they're not properly translating the New Testament of our Bible. They're not properly translating the whole Bible in 14,840 different places. thee, thou, thy, and thine. 14,840 places. Somebody says, well, there's mistakes in the Bible. Well, you take the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, the ESV. You take that. I'll show you 14,840 places where they did not properly translate from the language they were translating from. Because they put second person plural and never put second person singular anywhere in it. They used the same word every time. Now again, a lot of folks say, that doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. Well, I'm going to give God more credit than that. I'm going to say to Him it does matter. To Him it matters whether He said thee or ye. Whether He said one person or a lot of people. And so, when we look at that, we look, and here's all the other modern English translations, including the New King James Version. That's one a lot of folks say, well, it's the same as the King James without the these and thous. Yes, it is. And so 14,840 times in the New King James Version, it doesn't have the second person singular. It's got second person plural. It's got you down there. So here's the time. Singular, thee, zero. Thou, zero. Thy, zero. Thine, zero. All those 14,000 plus words are changed in modern Bible translations. Now, I will say this, when you go back to the American Standard Version of 1901, they left in the these and thous that referred to God. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power. They left the thines and the thys and the thous when it referred to God. But that's not the only place it's used in the Bible. God came down, where art thou, Adam? All right, man is used as a thou. The serpent, the devil is defined as a thou in Job chapter 1. Where hast thou been, roaming up and to and fro throughout the earth? All right, so that's neither here nor there. When it comes to the reference to that, they're all gone. All second person personal pronouns, whether singular or plural, are written as you, your, or yours. So it has clouded the distinguishing mark between singular and plural. And it leaves you guessing. This change leaves it up to the reader to guess if the word is singular or plural. Whereas the King James Version accurately removes the guesswork. When you see the word you in your Bible, you know it's plural. When you see you in any of the other Bible versions, you don't know if it's singular or plural. Now let's be honest. Sometimes you can tell by the context. The Lord says, Moses, I want you to, and we know He's talking to Moses. We know that's singular. Well, our Bible says thou or thee and makes it singular so we understand it and we don't have to guess at it. There's going to be some places, we'll see in a minute, where most people are guessing wrong if they don't have the singular or the plural. So it is very important to have the these and thous. When you hear somebody say, well, I just don't understand the these and thous, and say, you don't understand, and be nice about it. I mean, we're not being mean, but simply, if you don't have the these and thous, you don't rightly understand your Bible. Because the Greek and Hebrew language had singulars and plurals as second person. And when they translated into the other Bible versions and they did away with that, you can't rightly understand what you're reading. Somebody, and I didn't write the number down, but I saw somewhere, somebody said, there were 300, if I get the number right, 385 verses in the Bible where thee and ye, or thine and you, where a T word and a Y word were both in the same verse. And we'll look at least one of those tonight. But where the 385 times that the T word and Y word are in the same verse. But in all the modern Bibles, it's just the Y word, you, you. Is it singular? Is it plural? You're guessing. Unless you have a Bible that tells you what it is already, that's accurately translated from the original languages. All right, that brings us down to the examples. John chapter 3, verse 7. You know this verse, it's the conversation the Lord is having with Nicodemus. And I've referred to this before, but I wanted to get it down on paper so that we could look at it together this way. John chapter 3, verse 7, this is in the ESV, the English Standard Version. That is it's newer than the NIV and becoming the more common translation than even the NIV, though many, many people still use the New International Version. But the ESV is a more current translation. But it's just like all the others. It's got 17, it's just like the others. Most of you know, the other versions, the NIV and the others, are missing 16 whole verses. 16 whole verses are missing in those new translations. And it's amazing that the people that are using them don't even know that. I have sat with them. And when they say, why do you use a King James Bible? I said, let's talk about it. Look up, you've got your Bible? Yeah, what do you got? I've got a New International Version. Look up Acts 8:37. And they turn over to the book of Acts and they turn to verse 36. And then they look at verse 38 and there is no verse 37. There's not even a number 37 in there. And of course, the new versions, I'll put them in paragraph style where the verses aren't going down the left-hand side like our Bible is. They put them in paragraph style so you won't notice that that number's missing. And all those people that are reading it over and over and over again never notice that 37's not in there. You know what verse 37 of Acts is? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why is that verse missing from the ESV, the NIV, the RSV, all those different Bibles? Why is that verse missing? Matthew 18:11. Again, it goes from 10 to 12, no 11. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. No, that's the wrong one. That's Matthew 17:21. 18:11. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Those verses are the ones that are missing. The Son of Man has come to seek and to... And I guarantee you, people using those Bible versions don't even know those verses have been removed. And they'll worry about the these and thous when they've got whole verses missing. Now I said, the ESV is different. All those other ones have 16 verses missing. The ESV has a 17th verse missing. I don't know if I've got it written. I don't remember what it is offhand. Seems like I wrote it down somewhere. Matthew 12:47 is the one that the NIV has, the other ones have. I don't even know what, I'll look it up real quick. Matthew 12:47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak unto thee. But he answered and said unto him, who is it that told? If you take verse 47 out, verse 46 doesn't connect to verse 48. So again, that's the problem. That's a whole different study. John chapter 5, they take a whole big long verse out of there and it doesn't make any sense when you do it. But here's what they're doing. The ESV in John 3:7 says, do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The why word. Why is plural? Well, in modern English, it could be singular too. So are those singular or plural? Marvel not that I said... Here's Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The first you is pretty obvious. Marvel not that I said unto you. Then he said, you must be born again. Now, I've not taken a poll or a survey on this. But I'd be pretty sure that the majority of people that use a Bible that translates like that would think that both of those are talking about the same person. They're both about Nicodemus. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus, right? I said to you, you must be born again. But now look at the King James Version next to it. And notice the difference between the T word and the Y word. Marvel not that I said unto thee. Alright? That makes him, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto thee. But notice the next word. Ye must be born again. The thee is Nicodemus. The ye is the Pharisees. When you read John chapter 3, there was a leader of the Pharisees and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus said, ye, the whole bunch of you, you Pharisees, ye need to be born again. But when you read it in the ESV, John 3:7, you're not going to get that. And if some preacher's using that version and explains it correctly, that the first you is talking about Nicodemus, the second you is talking about the Pharisees, you know where he got that? He got that from a King James Bible. But he won't say it in the pulpit. He'll just pretend he knew that by looking at the ESV. And you can't. They both say you. Which is it? You can't rightly understand it when you remove the these and the thous. Now again, folks say, is that a big deal? I don't know, is it? Is it a big deal that Jesus said, marvel not that I sent unto thee, ye must be born again? I think that's a pretty big deal. I think that's pretty important. And all the new Bible versions have obliterated the importance and the preciseness of the Word of God. Luke chapter 22. This is a key one too. This is the Lord talking to Simon Peter. And the Lord said, and you'll see these are similar because this is the New King James Version. You see it at the bottom. The New King James Version simply says, we've just taken out in their preface to their translation, it says, we have modernized the language. We have taken out those old archaic these and thous. They admit it. They also took out hell. Apparently some people have a hard time understanding that big word. They took hell out and put Hades in its place. They did a lot of other changes that they weren't honest enough to tell people about. But they took out the these and thous. Here's the way it reads in Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath asked for you. Now who's the you talking about? Satan hath asked for you. You would say, Simon, right? That makes sense. He's talking about Satan hath desired to have you, Simon, that he may sift you, Simon, as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. If you didn't know any better, by reading that, you'd think that all four of those personal pronouns, you, 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 and your, were singular, talking to Simon. Can I tell you this? They're not. They're not all singular talking to Simon. Notice the King James Version. Oops, that's supposed to be a J. I have to talk to my secretary about that. I just did. All right. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have who? You. Now, if there's a difference between the T words and the U word, the Y words, the T is singular, the Y is plural, who is you referring to? It's referring to all the disciples. It's plural. It's not just Simon. Satan hath desired to have you, all 12 of you. The Lord's warning Peter in that verse. He's not telling Peter, the devil wants you, Peter. He singled you out. He wants you. No, he's saying, the devil wants all 12 of you guys. The Lord, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you, you disciples, plural, you, why? You as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Now we're singular. The Lord says, Peter, the devil's trying to sift all 12 of you as wheat, but I want you to know something. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, thou strengthen thy brethren. You know who got restored to fellowship in John chapter 21? Simon Peter. You know who got up on the day of Pentecost and preached a sermon where 3,000 were converted? Simon Peter. You know why that happened? Because though the devil desired to sift them all as wheat, the Lord prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not, and when he was converted, he would strengthen the brethren. You can't get that out of any Bible version but the King James Version. You can't. Because it says, you, 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 your, and you're going to assume, you're rightfully going to assume, that's talking just about Simon Peter, and it's not. And again, if you go back to the Greek New Testament, you're going to find out two different words, singular and plural, like the King James Version. Not all the same word, like all the other Bible versions. So the new ones are not easier to understand, they're more confusing. Because they have changed, quote unquote, the King's English. And here's what folks say. Well, that's Old English. Can I give you some language education here tonight? And again, the only reason I say this, I don't say this for us to be aggressive, confrontational people. I say this for us to be able to defend ourselves when people attack that book. Because they do. I remember I've told this story before. My daughter Sarah got a job working at a big mega church in their daycare center. She doesn't go to church there, but she worked at the daycare center. And after 2 or 3 weeks working there, the other ladies that worked there invited her to go out to lunch. So she thought, hey, this is great. I get to know everybody. They go out to lunch. She didn't order wine when they all ordered wine, but that's another topic or another subject. But she sat there. And one of the ladies said, oh, I got such a blessing in my devotions this morning. And one of the ladies said, what Bible version do you use? And she said, well, I use, and I don't remember what the Amplified, I don't know what they were, but she said she uses that. And that started a conversation around the table. And this is what my daughter told me. She said everything was fine. One said I used the NIV, one said I used the ESV, and one said I used the ASV. I used the Message. That's blasphemous. I used the Message. I used this and that. And then when they came to Sarah, she said, well, I used the King James Version. She said it got deathly silent. And you could tell by the look on people's faces that they were biting their tongue, not saying something. And you will find out that if you take a position or a stand and believe that's the Word of God with the these and the thous and the archaic, quote-unquote archaic words. But here's the thing. That's Old English. That's incorrect. That's inaccurate. You know what Old English is? Old English started in 500 B.C. 500 B.C., A.D. 500 B.C. It started when the Norsemen and all that came from Germany across Europe and settled the island of England. And it is a Germanic language. Our English language is a Germanic language. You look at the father, son, daughter, and look at German, modern German in there, they're almost identical. It is a German-based language. But when they settled in England, it began to become, and that's Old English. From 500 B.C. to 1100, that's Old English. From 1100 to 1500 is Middle English. All right? From 1100 to 1500 is Middle English. If you saw Old English, you couldn't read it. If you saw Middle English, it'd be really difficult. Look it up on the internet. Look it up. It'd be hard. In 1500, especially by 1550, began the modern English era. So our Bible is not in Old English. It's not even in Middle English. It's in modern English. We simply have dropped a lot of those words out of our vocabulary because we've slanged it up. That's how simple it is. We don't want to hear about hell, so we change it to Hades. We don't understand all the these and the thou, so we just make it you and we lose the understanding in the process. So those two verses are examples. We've got a couple minutes here, so let me just let's say this. You don't need to look at this one. Moses came down from the mountain with the commandments. What did the commandments say? Thou shalt not. Thou, second person, singular. Thou. When you see the new signs and the people putting them out there, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God and take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Change both the T words. You know what you just did? You took it from a precise instruction to every individual to make it an instruction for society. Now, it's not bad having it as instruction for society, but it was intended for every single individual. It's singular. Thou shalt not. That's you. That's directed to thou. Can't say to you. That's a Y word. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go out here tonight and start using thee and thou and thine and thy. You know, you'd just be a wacko. I understand all that. But when it comes to rightly understanding your Bible, you have to have that to do it. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:21. To me, the two that are on your page are the best two examples of it. There's another one where the Lord's talking to Moses and I could not find it. And I looked and looked and I wanted to put it on here. I was going to put it on a second page or the back of this page, but I couldn't find it. But here's one that many of the guys on the internet use to show the difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. Why doesn't that look right? That's not the right verse. See what happens when I write it down? So one, when you say to your hand and say to your feet. Oh, wait. I'm getting dyslexic here. I'm looking at verse 12. Ooh, that's scary. Verse 21. I did take my nap. I should have been okay. Verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. All right, the hand, singular, thee. Nor again to the head, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Hand is singular, so it's a T word. Head is plural, so it's a Y word. That is following the rules of grammar. That is correct translation and leaves you to not have to interpret things. Now that, again, that's a contextual one that you can pretty much figure out yourself. But why would God leave it for you to have to figure out yourself when He said it, second person singular and second person plural? We'll look at one more and we'll be done. Look at Joshua chapter 1. I'll let you look at Genesis. Look at Genesis 3 later when God comes looking for Adam. And He says to Adam and Eve, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Plural, because it's Adam and Eve both. But then when He comes down and he says to Adam, He asked him why he ate of that fruit. He doesn't talk to Eve. He said, thou. He's focusing on the singular. You don't get that when you take away the T words. Joshua chapter 1. I'll get there. That's Joshua chapter 1, right? Now, at verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, singular, talking to Joshua, thou and all this people, now you would have got that, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Now, is he talking to Joshua? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. You would read that verse and think he's talking to Joshua. But it's plural. You know what he said? Thou and all this people, verse number 2. Thou and all this people. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. He's speaking to them as a group, collectively, plural. And you only get that by a T word and a Y word. Verse 4, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. Verse 5, there shall not many man be able to stand before thee, Joshua, all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He's talking to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. The thou word tells us he's talking directly to Joshua. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua, singular. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see the T word, thou, singular. We lose the preciseness. We lose the exactness. We lose the detail when we change the Word of God. When we modernize it so that we can copyright it, so that we can advertise it, so that we can make money. The Bible says on the New Testament, we are not so many which corrupt the Word of God. And taking the T words and pitching them out to modernize them to Y words, not even realizing many times what they're doing. And again, some of them are not doing it intentionally. They just have no idea what they're doing. They have to make so many changes to be able to copyright the Scriptures. Your King James Bible has no copyright. Anybody can print it anytime they want to, anywhere they want to. Don't have to ask for anybody's permission. That's why when you read the little Baptist Bread devotional book and you open the front page, all they use in there is King James, so there's nothing that says used by permission. You get the old ones we used to use, our daily bread, and those were good. But a couple decades ago, they decided to go to the New King James Version. So you open up and it says, all scripture references are from the New King James Version, used by permission, Thomas Nelson Publishers. They have to ask for permission to do that. They have to make so many changes to be able to copyright. You can't just plagiarize and take something, recopy it. You have to make a multitude of changes. So one of the easiest changes was to take the these and the thous and the thys and the thines and make them all Y words. And when they did that, they obliterated the meaning of John 3:7. They obliterated the meaning of Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Of all these other verses, and I've got a bunch of lists of them here, of all these ones that are done that way. So the whole purpose for this tonight is simply to tell you, don't feel apologetic. Don't feel like you have to defend yourself. When somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about says, well, I just don't like those T words, those these and that words. They have no idea. They're not reading their Bible. They're not understanding the importance of those words in there, or they wouldn't make that statement. This word sounds harsh, but I don't mean harsh. They're ignorant. They just don't know any better. And yet, in their ignorance, they come to you and I like we don't know any better. That word's just full of old words like thee and thou. Yes, thank God they are. Because without it, you wouldn't know if he's talking to Peter or the disciples, to Nicodemus or the Pharisees. The only way you're going to get that is a Bible that has second person singular and second person plural. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed.